I've always been intrigued by this day as it is a precursor to Easter and the incredible events that took place on Resurrection Sunday. If you are not familiar with the story of Palm Sunday, here is a short synopsis. Palm Sunday began with Jesus and his disciples traveling over the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples ahead into the village of Bethpage to find an animal to ride. They found an unbroken colt of a donkey, just as Jesus had said they would. When they untied the colt, the owners began to question them. The disciples responded with the answer Jesus had provided, "The Lord needs it." Amazingly, the owners were satisfied with that answer and let the disciples go. In Luke, it says they brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As Jesus ascended towards Jerusalem, a large multitude gathered around him. This crowd understood that Jesus was the Messiah, but what they did not understand was that it wasn't time for him to set up his kingdom yet, although Jesus had tried to tell them so. The crowd's actions along the road gave rise to the name Palm Sunday. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. In putting their cloaks on the road, the people were giving Jesus the royal treatment. John records the detail that the branches they cut were from palm trees. On that first Palm Sunday, the people also honored Jesus verbally. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They also shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and "Hosanna in the highest heaven." In their praise of Jesus, the Jewish crowds were quoting Psalm 118 and acknowledged the prophecy of the Christ. As I look back on this Sunday, it must have been quite the celebration. Here coming into the city is the Messiah, and everyone recognizes it. Everyone celebrates it. And without knowing what happens next, I would have thought that this was the ushering in of Christ in a way that I would imagine. Christ coming in and being adored by the crowds. But we know what happens next. Now, if you were in the crowd that day, could you have guessed that in just a few days' time, the very person that was being adored would actually be brutally crucified? Would that have entered your mind? It would seem almost outlandish that something so different could take place. If someone would have told you that in less than a week, all of what you would see would be different, would you believe them? Would you believe the adoration would turn to hatred? The worship move to beatings? The shouts of Hosanna turn to shouts of crucify him? This very transition has dumbfounded me for some time. But I've come to somewhat of a conclusion that this is the way it had to be in order for the purpose of God to be fulfilled, namely, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the covering of our sins. This plan had gone back many years, and God was going to fulfill his plan, even if it hurt. This was the way. In order for the prophecy to be fulfilled, in order for the prayers of redemption to be realized, life had to be turned on its head. The celebration of Palm Sunday had to be turned into the darkness of the crucifixion. Let me ask you, can you relate to any part of your life being turned upside down lately? Think back to Christmas, just a little over 3 months ago. We were celebrating, we were traveling, we were festive, we were enjoying life, we were using toilet paper freely. I mean, if someone would have told you that in 3 months' time, life would be nothing like you could imagine, would you have believed them? Would you have believed that restaurants we would enjoy would be shut down? Churches that we assume will always be open were not? Airlines that could take us anywhere are basically empty. Strong workplaces are on the verge of the unknown. Would you believe that the country would be operating like a skeleton? I would not have placed a bet that anything like this would have ever taken place. It seems so outlandish that something so different could happen. In a matter of weeks, life is turned on its head. And to be honest with you, in many ways, it has dumbfounded me. And just like some of the followers of Christ probably wondered what was going on during that Holy Week, there are many of us wondering, what's going on? For me, to make some sense of this, I need to go back. I need to go back to last year, back to a few years ago, back to a time where I, along with others, would sit in a prayer meeting, or write in a journal, or wrestle around with our own thoughts. It goes back to a time when I would think about where my life was heading, or where others' lives were headed, or where we as a nation, or a world were going. In those times, many prayers and many hopes were lifted up, usually centered on the desire that men and women and children would recognize the need for God and recognize the characteristics of a life that is devoted to Him. We saw in our own lives the variation between who we were becoming and who God wanted us to be, both personally and corporately. So we ask God for deliverance. In my own view, deliverance should come easy. I mean, God, just take away my selfishness. Take away my greed, my pride, my arrogance, my attachments to this world. But just do it in a way that doesn't disrupt my life. I am also the guy who would think that when Jesus rode into a raucous celebration, he just should have ridden that party straight to the throne. But it doesn't work like that, and it never has. Rarely has there been a time when I needed something so drastic that there had been a simple solution that had not cost me something. In one sense, what we are discovering is that maybe our prayers are being answered, and in a big way. And the prayer that we as a church have been praying for years is that we as people, as a church, as a nation, as a world, begin to realize that ultimately our dependence is on God and nothing else. Not everyone will realize this. As things calm down, many will run back to the false security of possessions, status, government, comfort. But where will you end up? But does this mean that God caused this mess? Well, to be honest with you, I'm not smart enough to know the answer to that question. But I do know that God can use anything, anything for His purpose. But this is just not about a pandemic. This is the way our relationship with God develops. We say it often that God is more concerned about our development as a person than our comfort. This just really makes us realize if we believe it or not. A few years ago, I found myself in a place that was not desirable at all. I felt like my choices and outlook on life had become paralyzing spiritually. On the outside, I did what I was supposed to do and kept up with appearances and dependencies on what I thought mattered. My prayer at that time, although very anemic, was that I wanted to find peace. I wanted to find freedom. I wanted to find peace from the constant anxiety and guilt, as well as freedom from a life marred by my decisions. I quickly realized that in order for this prayer to be answered, it would take a difficult path that would not be resolved overnight. And in many ways, it's still in process. There is somewhat of an insanity in thinking that I can develop qualities that are Christ-like while expecting there to be no disruption. For many of us, myself included, dependence on God cannot be achieved while having so many other things to depend on. What is God teaching me right now? Well, things that come to mind besides dependence are priorities. He's teaching me patience, values, people, clarity, thrift, solitude, peace, and many others. When I began this talk, I mentioned how difficult it would be to be experiencing the celebration of Palm Sunday and believe that in just a few days, the crucifixion would be coming. But let me throw another one at you. If you were present at the crucifixion and were watching Christ die, if you were witnessing this horrible act, would there be any part of you that would believe in 3 days he would be alive again? Sometimes it's hard to see beyond what seems so real to us. It is difficult to have a vision or to have faith for a reality beyond what we see. The temporary can seem overwhelming when it is right in front of our faces. But it is possible that at some point there is a future that can turn this reality on its head and provide a new reality that could never be imagined. Easter is all about the impossible. It is about the darkness being shattered and a new way of life coming forth. A new life that is focused on Christ's ability to conquer death, the grave, and all the fear that coexists. I know right now some of you are hurting. Some of you are fearful. Some of you are filled with anxiety. If nothing else, I hope we all learn that no matter what this life throws at us, we are firmly planted in an eternity that is filled with peace and with life. Here on earth, odds are that in a few months, life will be back to some type of normality. Work will resume, church will resume, life will begin to drift back into its normal shape. For many people, this will become a distant memory and the self-dependence will come back. They will look again for so many weak foundations to provide security and peace. But what will you do? In spite of the pain, there was the beauty of the resurrection. In spite of the pain, there is the beauty in what Christ can develop in you. We all have this improbable opportunity to have prayers answered, to understand more deeply who God is, to embrace more of a relationship with Him, to have the darkness of life break forth into the light of a new world that we could never have imagined. He loves you. He cares for you. And even now, He is crafting you. Let me pray. God, it is so difficult to understand life, but this is nothing new. The Holy Week is an example of how our approach seems to be so different from yours. But may we take comfort in the fact that you love us so much, that your desire is to create in us people who are more like you, and enjoy the peace that can only come from you. To that end, I ask that you comfort those in our church who are dealing with anxiety, with financial strains, with work outages, with physical limitations. Envelop them with your love that is real. Bless liberty as we look forward to the miracle of the resurrection. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. And God bless you.